The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Faith always steps out into what it's not really sure of. Faith doesn't stay safe in the boat. Faith takes a risk. Faith takes a chance because faith is determined to be all it can be.
I never had a relationship with my father. I never knew him. And so my mom raised me by herself. And my mom was physically and verbally abusive towards me throughout my childhood.
I got into some pretty bad toxic relationships with some guys. I was sexually assaulted a number of times by some older men. Felt used, I felt more insecure. I felt just ashamed.
I ended up losing my son, and my life had turned in all different directions, and I didn't know which way to go.
Battlefield in the Mind, it was one of the most powerful books in my healing journey. It was the first time that I read and was taught that I don't have to accept every single thought that comes into my mind.
But Battlefield grounded me. It kept me focused on how I needed to change my mind and change the way I was thinking, because the way I was thinking was thinking. It was not right.
The thoughts that we think have the ability to shape the decisions that we make. And so many of us have dealt with toxic thinking and lies. But if we don't know that they're lies, we're just going to continue to accept them.
It was my big God moment. I read the book one person and then finished it a different one.
That book literally was a map for me to put me on the road that God wanted me to go on.
Battlefield of the Mind gave me the knowledge and the tools to write out scriptures and truths that I could speak out loud to renew my mind and line my thought life up with the Word of God. To have that discipline has been life-changing for me.
I've got a little message simply called, You've Got What It Takes. Can you turn to somebody and look at them and say, You've got what it takes? Say, I've got what it takes. No, the fear of inadequacy is probably one of the greatest fears that people have. Let's just say it again. The fear of inadequacy, the fear that we're not enough, the thoughts of I'm not, I can't, I don't, I didn't, I lack, and other similar types of thinking rob us of the truth of who we really are in Christ. We really do need to know the difference in our who and our do, because if you're a believer in Christ, you're much more than the mistakes that you make. We have an identity of being in Him, and everything that He is and has, we also have. It's ours legally and positionally. It's in us by the new birth, and we are in the process of walking it out every day in our lives. It's literally almost like saying we are becoming what we already are. We're becoming what we already are, but we are that while we're becoming that. Amen? So there's so many things that we have that we don't really believe that we have because we wait to see them, and God wants us to believe it first, and then we'll see it. The fear of inadequacy. God will always give us what we need to be able to do what He asks us to do. If we learn how to agree with Him. If God says, I've got it, then I've got it. If God says, I am, then I am. It doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. It doesn't even really matter what anybody else says. If God says, I've got it, then I've got it. Everybody say, I've got it. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence. You know, the word glory means the manifestation of the very best that God has. I want us to look at this scripture again. For His divine power, by His grace and mercy, not by anything we've done, He has bestowed upon us, He has gifted us all things. Somebody say, all things. That are requisite and suited to life and godliness. That means God has given us everything that I need to live the very best life that I can possibly live, and He did it because He's good, not because I'm good. Everybody say, I've got it. John 16:15. Everything, somebody say everything. Everything that the Father has is mine. Oh my goodness. Now, you know, I just got to be honest with you and tell you that even as I stand here and read that to you, and I believe it with my heart, my mind is having a hard time with that. And I really believe it. But my mind is having a hard time with it. Now, here's the thing. If we really can learn how to live out of our hearts instead of our heads, ooh, that was good. If we really learn to live out of our hearts instead of our heads, wow, what a life we can have. In my heart, I believe. I really do believe that I have everything that I need to live a victorious life. I don't always feel like it. I don't always act like it. But I believe it. I got it. I believe I've got what it takes. I really do believe that I can do whatever I need to do through Christ, who is my strength. I don't always think it, but I believe it. Put one hand on your belly and one hand right up here on your head. Now, how many of you know there's a big difference in those two places? And so if you live out of this, does anybody ever say to you, well, you know, just off the top of my head, well, that's the last place I want any information from, is off the top of your head or the top of my head. Give me something that's deep in your spirit. Give me some truth, not just what you think. Everything the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit them unto you. Now, Jesus is saying, look, everything the Father has is mine, and I'm giving it to you. Everybody say, I got it. But now, if we really pay attention to this Amplified translation, he says, the Holy Spirit is revealing them to you. He's disclosing them to you, and I love this, He is transmitting them to you. Now, in order to, for anybody to accurately and successfully transmit, you gotta have a receiver on the other end. So I tell you what, I'm learning to be a great receiver. Don't try to give me anything if you don't want me to take it, because I'm good at receiving. You know, sometimes you try to bless people, like, oh, no, 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 you don't have to do that. You ain't gonna get that out of me. I'm gonna be like, whoa, thank you. Amen? I'm transmitting life-changing messages over television, but if you don't have a receiver in your house, you can't get it. And see, a lot of us are still trying to get something that we don't have to get. We need to stop and realize that Jesus already got it, and now we've got it because He gave it to us, and all we need to do is say, I'm receiving. And how do I receive? Through my believing. Actually, the word believe, if you study it, means to receive, and the word receive means to believe. So if I'm a believer, then I'm a receiver. And if I'm a receiver, then I'm a believer. Be it unto you even as you believe. I want to talk to you today about your believing. I don't know what all is going to happen in the earth today. Whatever it is, I'm not afraid of it, because I believe that God will give us what we need at the time that we need it. I don't know, maybe we won't have anything but good things happening, but in case it don't turn out that way, I've just already got a mindset. Come on, the Bible says in Colossians 3, set your mind and keep it set. So I've already got a mindset. Well, gosh, gee, Lord, I hope I get everything I want, but just in case I don't, I've already decided that I can be happy anyway. Come on. I've already decided that I'm going to believe in you just as much if I don't get the manifestation of my healing right here in this earth. I don't know, maybe I got to step over the line and I'll get it the moment I step into glory, but I already believe I'm healed. I know that nobody can take it away from me. And I've already got a mindset that my faith is not based on what I see here in this earth. A lady said to me at lunch, a woman I've known for a long, long time, and she's a woman of God. She loves God. She prays. She's a giver, and yet she has a son that has been addicted to heroin, and no matter what they've tried to do, he just keeps doing the wrong thing, the wrong thing, the wrong thing, the wrong thing, the wrong thing. And so I asked her how he was, and she said, in jail. And she went through all kinds of things, nerve issues and all kinds of problems, worrying about him and being concerned about him. And she finally realized that she either had to stop it or his problem was going to steal her life. Can I just tell you something today? Stop ruining your life over somebody else's bad choice. I said, stop ruining your life over somebody else's bad choice. You can't make somebody love God. And so I said to her, I said, how are you doing with it? She said, you know what? I'm okay. And here was what she said that I thought was so good. She said, you know, God is either going to heal him and take care of it or not. And either way, I'm okay. And see, some of you might think, well, isn't that some doubt and unbelief? No, you know what she's saying? She's saying, I can't control his choices and neither can God. God will do everything he can to get the boy to do what's right. But even if it doesn't turn out that way, she's already made a decision that she loves God, she's going to be happy, she's going to bear good fruit, and she's not going to not believe because she doesn't get it the way she wants it. Come on, I think somebody needs to get a hold of this today, because you're letting your joy be dictated to by what other people do or they don't do, or if you see the manifestation of this now or you don't see it now. And we look at all that stuff and we put our mind on it and we think about it and we think about it and we want to know why. I don't understand why. And can I tell you something? Why is a question that's never going to stop being asked in this earth. Trust always requires unanswered questions. There's always going to be something that we don't understand if we're going to have faith in God. The fear of being inadequate is just another way of saying that we're afraid of failure. I'm afraid I'm not enough. I'm afraid I don't have what it takes. So I'd rather just not even try than to try and fail. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. Somebody say, I get up again. But the person who truly knows who they are in Christ, I mean, you really know who you are in Christ. It's not based on how you feel. And it's not this head knowing, it's a heart knowing. Be it unto you even as you believe. Jesus wants us to pray and believe. Try to identify this person. When I was 7 years old, my family was forced out of our home because of a legal technicality. I had to work to help support my family at age 9. While still a backward, shy little boy, my mother died. At age 22, I lost my job as a store clerk. I wanted to go to law school, but my education wasn't good enough. At 23, I went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, my partner died, leaving me a huge debt, which took me years to repay. At 28, after developing a romantic relationship with a young lady for 4 years, I asked her to marry me, and she said no. At 37, on my third try, I was finally elected to the U.S. Congress. 2 years later, I ran again and failed to be reelected. At that time, I had a nervous breakdown. At 41, adding additional heartache to an already unhappy marriage, my 4-year-old son died. The next year, I ran for land office and lost. At 45, I ran for Senate and lost. A few years later, I ran for the vice presidency and lost. At 49, I ran for Senate again and lost. At 51, I was elected president of the United States. Who am I? My name is Abraham Lincoln. Wow. You know, I believe that the only way that he did that was because he was a man of God and he had to know how much God loved him. Now listen to me, when you know, when you have that revelation knowing that God loves you and that it's not based on what you do, whether you succeed or fail, whether you're elected or you're not elected, then you have no problem falling and getting up again, falling and getting up again, falling and getting up again, because you already know that you're loved. You're not doing anything to be well thought of, to be loved. You already know who you are, and nobody can take that away from you. You know, it's what you think of you that matters much more than what anybody else thinks of you. It's our reputation in heaven that's much more important than our reputation here on earth. I don't know about you, but I want to be famous in heaven. That's much more important than being famous here. 1 John 4:18, we've been talking about fear all weekend. We have to take one look at this scripture. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Now, can I just stop right here and say that dread is a very close relative of fear? And I want to encourage you, when you go home, to get dread out of your vocabulary. Do not look at a sink full of dirty dishes and say, "I dread doing the dishes. I dread going to the grocery store. I dread doing the laundry. I dread paying my bills. I dread driving in traffic to work tomorrow." Don't even sit here and think, "I dread going home." I know some of you are already thinking, "Oh, this has just been so wonderful, man. I just dread going home." No, you say, "I got it. I got what it takes to go home and have a victorious, good attitude. I can conquer the dishes. I can pay the bills. I can do the laundry. I can change the diapers. I can live with a husband who's not quite where I'd like him to be yet. I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who is my strength. I've got it." Come on, don't make me come down there. The power of believing. And look at me, let me tell you something. You can believe what you want to believe. You're going to believe something. It might as well be something that's going to help you. It's just as simple. Actually, it's easier to believe you can than to believe you can't. It's easier to believe you are than to believe you aren't. In God's economy, now listen to this, in God's economy, faith always leads. Feelings follow, manifestations follow, but faith always takes the lead. Faith always steps out into what it's not really sure of. Faith doesn't stay safe in the boat. Faith takes a risk. Faith takes a chance because faith is determined to be all it can be. Now, you know, based on what you guys tell me, you love me, you like me, you know, you tell me, you know, I think you're this, I think you're that, blah, 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 you've changed my life. You have no idea how frighteningly average and normal I am. I mean, it's like sometimes I'm walking around and somebody will run up to me and say, "Ah, you're Joyce Meyer." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm Joyce Meyer." But see, actually, the truth is I'm just like you. And you're just like me. We're all just a big mess. With Jesus living on the inside, saying, "You got what it takes." If there is any difference in me and you, and there doesn't have to be, but if there is any, it's only because I've decided to believe it and you haven't quite decided that yet. You can get over a broken past if you decide to believe that there's nothing in your past that can keep you from having a great future. You can't listen to what other people tell you. You can't listen to how you feel, what you think, your own experiences. You fight with your sword. You fight the lies of Satan with your sword. I talk to you all the time about confessing the word of God out loud. And I don't know if you get tired of me harping on it or not, but I don't care. I'm never going to shut up about it. We have got to learn how to talk back to the devil. Amen. You know, when you go home, you're not going to have all the pretty music and all the sweet sisters sitting next to you. And just to be really honest, you're going to go home to some of the same mess as you left. We can't wave our magic wand over everything. But the thing is, although the things may not have changed, you have changed. You have been strengthened. You've been encouraged. You've been empowered. Perfect love casts out fear. Let's look at 1 John 4:18 again because I didn't finish it. There's no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels with it every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So really, what is that saying? If I still have fear in my life, then that means I still need a deeper revelation on how much God loves me. Because here's the truth. There is nothing that can happen to us that God will not work out for our good one way or the other as long as we keep believing. Now, let me just tell you something, and this is a good thing for you to remember. As long as you keep believing, God keeps working. I said, as long as you keep believing, God keeps working. As long as you keep believing, God keeps working. And if there's anything that we must not do, we must not let the devil take away our believing. And let me tell you something. There is a strategy that's in place in the spiritual realm, a strategy that Satan has been working for several hundred years that's designed strictly for no other purpose than to get people to live out of their head and not out of their heart, to get them not to believe. All things are possible to him who believes. What is the work that God requires of us? It says in John 6, 29, this is the work that God requires of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. I love that. I used to have this message going on in my head all the time. What do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I just thought surely my circumstances would get better if I could just find the right thing to do. Is anybody there? And then there'd be a little demon sitting on my shoulder, screaming in my ear, what are you gonna do? 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 Then my friends would come along. Well, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? You know, we don't live out of a do, we live out of a done. Come on. He said, it is done. It's not about what I need to do. Now, yes, I do things, but I don't do them to get God to love me. I do them because He already loves me. Well, for a couple of years in my teaching, I found myself talking a lot about living life on purpose and doing things on purpose and not just waiting to see what happened to you, but making some decisions and living life really aggressively. And so as a result of that, usually when I keep saying the same thing over and over, I know it's a message that God really wants to get out to people. And so I've written a book called Seize the Day. And I think it's really a good book that's going to help a lot of people. You know, I believe that we need to be aware that God has given each of us a free will. That means we have the right to make choices. God loves us, and you really can't love and not offer people freedom. God doesn't want to control our every move. He doesn't want to just make us do a lot of things. He has a good life for each and every one of us, but we have to be willing to take hold of that life, so to speak. I love what the Bible says in Joshua, where Moses had died and the people had never yet come into the promised land. They wandered around out in the wilderness for 40 years. And God spoke to Joshua, who was now going to take the job that Moses had had, and he was going to lead the people into the promised land. And the Lord spoke to him and said, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I already given unto you. And I love that. In other words, God has already got a good life laid out for you. But now He's saying, every step that you take toward that good plan, that is ground that you will gain. We can't just say, well, I believe God's got a good life for me. The Bible says that God's got a good life for me, so I'm just waiting for it to happen. You can't wish blessings into your life. We need to do what God is asking us to do, and we need to learn to live life on purpose. Really, the theme of this book is to live life on purpose for a purpose. Let me say it again. To live life on purpose for a purpose. And I believe that any of us who call ourselves Christians need to understand that every day of our life should be about fulfilling the call of God on our life, being the best version of us that we can be for the glory of God. I'm not in a relationship with God so He can just give me everything I want. He wants us to serve Him. You're not in a relationship with God just so He can give you everything you want. He wants you to serve Him and to serve Him aggressively. God has so many good things for us, but we can't just sit back passively and hope that they happen to us. So I've written what I believe is a really good book that's going to help you get up every day and take your life back. I think that a lot of times we've just letting a lot of our life has been taken away from us through circumstances, through wrong mindsets that we have, and we just wish life wasn't that way, but we're not really doing what we can do to change it. So this book, I guess, is all about getting people stirred up again, fanning the flame like the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Stop living in fear. Don't live this little bitty life where you're just sitting around being jealous of everybody else because they've got what you'd like and maybe having a resentful attitude. God has got a great life for you. Now you need to use your free will to choose the will of God and see what great things He will do for you. Thank you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it will quicken our mortal bodies. It's about believing. And let me tell you something, it is a journey, and it's a journey that everybody can walk. God doesn't have these few little favorites that he picks out and does special things for. He does different things through different ones of us, and no one thing is greater than another thing. You're doing the greatest thing if you're just doing what God is asking you to do in your little corner of the world. Amen? But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about this praying and believing thing and how important it is when you pray to believe. So I wrote down in my notes, pray to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then have a confident attitude that you can be led by the Spirit. And my grammar check thing on my computer kept kicking it out as an error. And I'm thinking, there's nothing misspelled. What is wrong with it? What's wrong with it? And then I saw it. Even the computer sometimes is smarter than we are. I wrote down, pray to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then have a confident attitude that, I didn't say this, but that someday you can be. See, you're not getting it either. You know what's wrong with it? If I pray to be, then I need to believe that I am. If I pray to the God who can do everything that I will be, then I don't go pray that I can, I say that I am. God, help me change. Then all I need to say after that is every day I'm changing into his image from glory to glory. I don't hope it's going to happen someday. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Now. Faith is always now. It's not yesterday, tomorrow, or it's now. Oh, some of you are still out there in some other zone. You're not. But how can I believe that I am if oh my gosh, you have any idea how many thousands of hours I spent walking around my house saying I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am not guilty. I am not condemned. God does love me. All of my needs are met according to his riches. Going, my kids are all saved. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They marry born-again, spirit-filled men and women. You better start praying and then saying. Start believing. Don't live in fear. I'm so afraid my kids are going to get in trouble. God, I ask you to change the things that need to be changed in my children. And I hope someday that you will. No, I ask you to do this, God, and I believe that you're working right now. It doesn't matter if I've seen it or felt it. I believe that you're working. Are you with me? Come on, I want you to get things into the now. But see, we have a very difficult time believing what we can't see or feel. Okay, now I'm going to give you a little history about something here, and I hope this interests you. I found it very interesting. I've been rereading a book called Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth that I read. It was actually one of the first books that kind of interested me in a deeper walk with God back in the 70s. The book was written in 1972. And you see, up until then, I didn't even really know the devil was real. I just thought he was, I don't know what I thought, you know. I mean, the whole image of the red suit and the long tail and the pitchfork is geared toward making us think he's like some kind of a comic cartoon character. But let me tell you something. The devil is alive and well on planet Earth. And irregardless of whether you like to talk about things like that or not, we have to talk about them, because as long as the church keeps thinking that we have no enemy, they're never going to realize that they're in a war and they got to learn how to do battle. We are a target. Amen? And every inch of ground you take in some way, shape, or form, you're going to have to do a little bit of fighting to take it. And part of that fighting is just hanging on to your faith in God, no matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like. And now I just want to say this, and I hope you get it. I think sometimes we spend too much time believing God for something instead of just believing God. Not that it's wrong to believe God for something, but we just need to make a decision that we are just going to believe God. So in this book, I read some of these following things, and I thought, you know what? I just added this to this message last week because I just thought it was really good. In 1704, all the way back then, a man named Kant, K-A-N-T, who had never traveled more than 69 miles from his home, which was in Prussia, and he was a German philosopher. Now, I don't know why the word philosopher impresses us. Oh, he's a philosopher. Well, what is that? I thought, I'm not even sure what it is. I'm going to study it. It's a person who offers a view or a theory to a profound question. A philosopher is a thinker. Well, then we're all philosophers. Because we've all got our views and we've all got our theories about things. And God help us if everybody starts believing everything we think. Come on. It's the study of nature and the meaning of life. A particular view, a person who regulates their life according to reason. Oh my gosh, now this gets scary. Well, I wish I had time to run you through a bunch of the scriptures that talk about the dangers of reasoning. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I love what the Apostle Paul said is recorded in 1 Corinthians 2:2. And you know, Paul, we can tell from studying the Bible, was a very smart man. I mean, he was educated, highly educated, and he probably would have been considered a brilliant man. And I bet that guy could do some thinking. And yet in 1 Corinthians 2:2, the Bible says, I have decided to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. I love that. Stop trying to figure so much stuff out and just believe. Why did that wonderful Christian die? And this wretched sinner is still alive. You ain't gonna figure that out. And even if you come up with something you think makes sense, you're probably wrong. I'll tell you the answer to a lot of this stuff, I don't know. But I do know God, and that's all I need to know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why this. I don't know why that. But I do know God. I know that he loves me. I know that I love him. I know I'm going to spend eternity with him. And I am not going to make myself miserable the years that I've got here trying to figure out things that are too wonderful for me. I don't know if you know it or not, but God likes mysteries. And I love a good mystery. So I've just decided that's the nature of God in me. We like mysteries. Not to sit around and try to figure them out, but I just it's like the wow. Well, Joyce, what about faith? We can't use our faith just to get everything we want the way we want it and then be confused when we don't. We believe for what we want, and if we don't get it, we keep believing. Did you hear me? I said we believe for what we want. We believe for the best. I love something that our staff pastor, Mike Shepherd, told somebody recently that was going through a really rough time. He said, trust in the sovereignty of God and reach for his promises. Come on, that's good. trust in the sovereignty of God, but reach for his promises. I'm always going to believe for what I feel like in my limited knowledge is the best thing that God can do for me, but I can tell you it's always going to involve my comfort. But how wonderful is it to just be able to trust God? Come on, some of you need to just take a rest. Come on now, you're too quiet. You're scaring me. You're thinking some stuff over, aren't you? It's like, well, how can I believe what I don't see and what I don't feel? And you mean I'm supposed to live my life and try to not figure anything out? And it doesn't really matter if I get it or I don't, as long as I know that I'm going to spend eternity with God. Let me tell you something. If you want to give the devil a nervous breakdown, this is the way to do it. You just tell him, you take your best shot. I don't care what you do. I'm going to believe in God until I draw my last breath. Then I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. If God gives me what I want, I believe in him. And if he don't give me what I want, then I believe that he knew something I didn't know, and I trust him anyway. Come on, church, we got to grow up. We got to get over this soft, wimpy, whiny Christianity. Take up your swords. Okay, so this guy is this can't, who tried to tell us we can't. He was a philosopher. The world's been full of them. And Kant's original thinking offered a view that is still affecting the civilized world today. He began to question whether a man should accept things that were beyond his five senses. In other words, if he couldn't see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, or hear it, then it couldn't possibly be real. Here I am urging people to believe in God, believe what his word says, no matter what you see, think, hear, smell, touch, or taste. And this guy comes along and says, well, if you can't connect with it with your five senses, then it can't possibly be real. He believed there were no absolutes, no cause and effect, that no person could accept anything beyond their own experience, and that true freedom was in obeying only the moral law that existed in you. In other words, you can do whatever you feel is right for you. Now, this is the first guy they talk about, so I can't say that there was nobody else like that before him, but this guy who never got more than 69 miles from his home, this theory that he had began to spread, and people started adopting it. Now, this is just how sneaky the devil is. Then along comes another guy with another thought bomb, and his name was Hegel, and he lived in the 1800s. And he took the ideas of the first guy and he passed them forward and left a heritage of brutal, violent fallout which is still invading our century. He was called the philosophical dictator of Germany, and he believed that one idea or fact, thesis, working against another idea or fact, antithesis, would produce a new fact, synthesis. And synthesis is the combining of things to form a new thing. Can I tell you something? It works with chemicals, but not with God's word. And let me give you an example. This is what that kind of thinking might produce. Now, even though the word of God, if I was this philosopher, I would say, now, even though the word of God says that we should not commit adultery, it is permissible today because, you see, we live in a new century where everybody's doing it. You didn't hear me. This is the kind of stupidity we're dealing with today. And you know, I know that I'm going to make somebody mad when I say this. I don't want to, but You know what? I'm going to give an account to God if I don't preach bold enough messages that it makes people stop and think about their behavior. How dare we call ourselves Christians and then live no different than the world and put some kind of philosophical reason to it and say that it's okay? Do you know how many people live together today before they're married? It is rampant. And you know what? They're not ashamed of it. They don't care who knows it. It's just like a normal, average, everyday thing. And so that kind of thinking is being accepted little by little by little by little until now even the church doesn't really know that it has too much of a problem with it. You know, I don't want to end this thing on a sour note, but I'm just telling you, we got to stop it. Amen? Well, you know, it's the 21st century. I don't care. I don't care if it's the 50th century. God does not change. His word does not change. And I don't care how modern we are. You know, we've changed some things in our ministry. We've changed the way the platform looks. I wear different clothes. We've got more updated music because we want to bring in the young people. But I'll tell you something that I said in the very beginning. We can change the package all we want to, but we can't change the message and we can't change our morals. I will change the package that I bring the gospel to you in so everybody can receive it. But I pray God that I never compromise my morals just because that's the way the world is going. You know, a lie is still a lie. And stealing is stealing. And immorality is still immorality. If you study history, the more educated people became, the more they rejected absolutes. And I can tell you, as far as I'm concerned, this is absolutely 100% true. This is what I'm basing my life on. We're going to make a decision what we're going to live for. And all these lies that Satan has perpetrated all these years and taken a long time to do it, this is what's wrong with our world today. This is what's wrong with society. This is why people are killing people and men are raping women and all these things that are going on. Okay, now we got to do Freud. He was the founder of psychoanalysis. And, oh, by the way, I need to tell you this, every one of these men were atheists. Every single one of them were atheists. Freud was an atheist, and he offered a theory of treatment for those suffering with mental disorders. His thought formed the basis for the permissive society in which we live today. And here was his theory. The human race is motivated chiefly by pleasure. Well, I don't disagree with that apart from God. That is all we want to do is feel good about everything. And his belief was that everything starts and ends with sex. I didn't make it up. Man is repressed by society in the fulfillment of his unconscious drive for the gratification of these erotic desires. In other words, society has so many guidelines and rules that this guy who just only cares, or woman who cares nothing about only but sex, because society won't let him just do whatever he wants to, now the poor guy is repressed and he gets a mental disorder and needs to be psychoanalyzed. You know, all you got to do is watch television today to realize how weird this stuff has gotten. I mean, you can't have a TV program on 2 minutes and everybody jumps in bed with somebody else. I mean, it's just disgusting. absolutely disgusting. And then the world has to put together panels of experts to try to figure out why people are killing people and men are raping women and kids in school are committing suicide. I'll be the expert here for a minute, and I'll offer you a new theory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? And in him there is life, and there is no life without him. And I tell you what, it's time for us to stand up and be believers. We need to believe not what the world says, not what the government says. We need to believe what God says and only what God says. Amen? Come on, give God some praise. Well, God has already given us everything we need to succeed in life. But so often it's our fear of inadequacy that keeps us from fully experiencing all that God has for us. We need to realize that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Today I'm offering you my book, Seize the Day. I love that subject. Don't just let your days just go by when you have no plan and no purpose and then you wonder what you're doing with your life. Learn to live life on purpose for a purpose. So we're offering you the book, Seize the Day, and a 3-CD series, 3 hours of teaching, living on purpose for a purpose. God has a plan for you, and he wants you to get in line with that plan and be all that you can be for his glory. Thank you for watching today.